We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, it was 54 years almost ago when our country experienced the British invasion. In 1964, the Beatles, the British rock group, left the UK. They left Heathrow Airport to a crowd of 4,000 people cheering them on. And they got off the plane in New York City at JFK Airport to 3,000 people happy to see them. They were instantly popular here, even though they were very different from the musical groups that we were used to. They dressed differently. They had those, you know, collarless, black, slim suits, and their hair was all kind of that mop effect, and their harmony was a little dissonant. But they were very popular and have remained the best-selling band of all times. Their reception, however, paled in comparison on giving the certain level of number of people, paled in comparison to the reception that Jesus got when he began his ministry by preaching or teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Because the Beatles had 4 years to hone their skills in the UK before they brought them here. But Jesus seems to have just stepped out of nowhere and walked to the front of the synagogue and begun teaching. And when he did, the reaction of the people was so strong. They were amazed. They were astounded, is the word. And when you look at the Greek, that means they didn't have words to explain how they felt. His teaching was so new and fresh and different, and he was so different. And I think that might have been part of the key. Because twice in this description of Jesus, it says that he had authority. Now, you know, we get authority, it's given to us by institutions as we work our way up. We're given authority. The chief of police, the high school principal, the chairman of a corporate board is given authority. But then there's that authority that comes from inside. And maybe you've had this experience too. We were in a group and there was this young, kind of unassuming woman. She was asked to speak, and she stepped forward and she was in her element. She was completely at ease. Her words just flowed so naturally. She really had authority behind what she said. And I think that is what the people were picking up on, that Jesus had that kind of authority. It came from within. It was so different from the authority of their religious leaders, particularly the scribes, who would study for years the words of scholars who had lived and died before them. And when they spoke, they spoke with the authority given to them by others. So we can imagine that Jesus just walking up front and beginning to preach, having this authority that didn't depend on years of study, would rankle the religious leaders a little bit. But even more than that, they were upset because he was breaking their rules. Theoretically, any Jewish adult male could preach in the synagogue or teach. But the rule that everyone understood was that religious leaders had to invite you. Well, as far as we know, no one invited Jesus. He just stepped forward and began to teach. Not only that, when an unclean person, a man with an evil spirit, approached Jesus, he didn't immediately keep his distance, but he interacted with him. And more than that, he healed this man on the Sabbath, which was, of course, completely breaking the religious institution's rules. Now, I think in our country, we tend to make heroes of people who break rules. You know, they don't care what people think. And you can see that in books and in films, and I think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where he was a suburban high school student in suburban Chicago, and he pretended to be sick so that he could play hooky. And he and his friend went out for the day borrowing his friend's father's Ferrari, and they went into Chicago and did sightseeing, and he was successful in avoiding being caught by the dean of students, who was a vengeful man and was after him. And he also, in the course of their day together, convinced his friend to stand up to a very controlling father. So Ferris Bueller comes off looking pretty good. He's the hero. He had the courage. He fought for freedom. He, you know, was able to make a fool of an authority figure that no one liked. When Jesus broke rules, it was not so that people would think he was a hero. It was just the opposite. It had nothing to do with his own image. Jesus broke rules because it was the only way that he could eradicate evil. Taking on evil was his mission. And we see that in the book of Mark. The first thing he does is drive out an evil spirit. And Jesus knew that evil is often embedded in institutions, which realize that there's evil present, but for the sake of the institution, do not want to see it. We know that we're tempted to protect our own wealth, our power, our ideas, even though they might hurt some people. And institutions are no different. We certainly see that in the church, that religious leaders have protected abuse because they didn't want to hurt the institution. We've seen it in colleges, as Michigan State has shown us, and we've seen it in so many institutions, whether it's the police, whether it's the military, whether it's the government. The leaders and the members of these institutions, for the most part, are benefiting with things just as they are. So they, follow the rule of secrecy. They don't talk about what is evil and what is bad because they don't want to hurt the institution. Keeping rules is the way we protect institutions, even if those rules might not be right. When Keith and I were an undergraduate, when we were in college, some Sunday nights we'd meet with a bunch of friends, 12 or 15 of us would get together. We'd have a church service. And then one Sunday we thought, and this was in a home, we thought, well, let's have communion. But the authorities got word of that, and they said, oh, no. If you have communion, you have to have an ordained minister preside, and you need to do it in the chapel. And so we started thinking, well, why do you need someone with a 4-year theological degree to have communion? There were no seminaries in the early church. Could it be that this rule was not helping the spirit, but was hampering the spirit? The understanding, the rationale we usually use in the church is that it's for the good order of the institution. But maybe today in this gospel, Jesus is asking us to look at our rules. Are they always ones that help, or are we protecting the institution at the expense of the Holy Spirit? There's one other point that I think is important to look at in this text, and that is, when the man with the evil spirit approached Jesus, the spirit had a question. Have you come to destroy us? Well, we know the answer. Yes, Jesus had. But he did not. He did not destroy the evil spirit at that moment. He threw the spirit out. The spirit, he freed the man so that he could go back to his family and his community and be welcome in the synagogue. But destroying evil did not happen then. It happened later when Jesus allowed his enemies to destroy his own body on the cross and when he was raised again from the dead. Because it was in being raised from the dead that he destroyed the ultimate power of evil, which is death. And we know that now evil, although it hurts us, can never overpower us. And death will never have the final word. Because the Savior who boldly walked forward and began to preach, even though he wasn't authorized to by the institution, the Savior who lovingly drove out an evil spirit and made a man's life his own again, this is the Savior who at the end of this life will be waiting to invite us into a life where finally evil will be transformed into good. Amen.